So let's dig in a little more now into what exactly a Russian military intervention in Ukraine could look like. The World's Chris Wolf is here to help us sort through Moscow's options. What exactly are we looking at, Chris? Kind of a Russian version of shock and awe?
That is an option, Marco. I don't know if it's the most likely, but NATO has assessed that Russia has all the assets in place for an all-out, old-fashioned offensive by air, land, and sea, the kind of thing that would require a violent air campaign to suppress Ukraine's air defenses and its command, control, and communications infrastructure.
You suggest that's unlikely. Why do you think it's unlikely?
That's because it's risky, Marco. There's a lot of potential issues with that. One is, of course, the issue of logistics. If they're going to go for an all-out invasion, you know, presumably to try and get all of southern and eastern Ukraine that contains Russian speakers, you're going to run into logistical issues, actually keep making sure your troops have enough ammunition, food, and gas just to keep going. Russia also lacks the forces to secure like a complete perimeter. 40,000 may sound like a lot, but spread over the kind of territory that in World War II required a million men to defend, it's not that much. So you'd be exposed to a counterattack by conventional forces. You'd also be vulnerable to unconventional small unit attacks, the kind of guerrilla-style war. And there are two other quick points. One is you would breed a generation of hatred with ordinary Ukrainians. It would be very difficult to bridge and manipulate Ukraine into a compliant relationship in the future. And the other is you would need to deploy an awful lot of follow-on forces. And Russia has only a limited number of good professional forces. If they had to do that, they would have to bring in a lot of conscript units of much lower quality, much inferior training and equipment.
So the goal of any intervention in Ukraine from Russia, just troops rolling in, what would the goal be?
Well, the great Prussian military writer Karl von Clausewitz said war is politics by other means. It's a tool to try and get to the goals that you want. We don't know what those goals are, but NATO has assessed that Russia has the capacity to reach all the way to Odessa and Transnistria in the far southwest of Ukraine. So that would mean occupying a swath of, you know, eastern and southern Ukraine where Russian speakers live. I don't see that as particularly likely because Putin's track, we don't know what's going on in Putin's mind, but his track record is as a man who plays his cards very judiciously so that he's not a high-stakes gambler, and this would be a high-risk, high-stakes gamble.
So if not an outright invasion, what are the other options?
Well, most analysts seem to be thinking of the most likely outcome is a limited peacekeeping or humanitarian-style mission.
And how would a humanitarian-style mission be rationalized? I mean, what is a humanitarian need?
Well, I think the explanation would be that Russian speakers are being victimized by the Ukrainian authorities and that they need to be defended by the Russians.
And would that achieve what Russia wants and what the pro-Russia separatists also desire in eastern Ukraine?
Well, it depends what we're looking at. We're looking at maybe like slicing off one or two provinces. Donetsk and Luhansk look obvious, the ones in the east with the most Russian speakers. Something you could achieve quickly by slipping in small forces, sealing off the main roads and adopting a defensive posture so that you can hold on to these kind of limited gains and then surrounding and isolating any Ukrainian units that are kind of left in the area, trying to avoid conflict or trying to avoid bloodshed, you know, kind of thing that you could set up a safe area where you can organize a referendum for presumably voting to join Russia or something.
So Crimea has already been sliced off. You're suggesting maybe two more regions of eastern Ukraine getting sliced off. I mean, what's the risk that U.S. and NATO finally actually strike back with some kind of counteroffensive?
I think that's extremely unlikely in this case. I think President Obama's made very clear that his red line is a NATO member country being penetrated by the Russians, and that's not on the cards at this stage.
So it's kind of shock and awe or kind of a slow humanitarian intervention. Are those the only two options?
No. I mean, obviously, they could continue with just more of the same, a continued kind of destabilization with limited involvement of, you know, the disguised special forces to kind of bolster the locals where needed. But with what view, it's hard to say. Mm. Do you want to undermine and destabilize the entire Ukrainian government to bring it crashing down and install a more friendly regime for the whole country? Or do you just want to, again, try and manipulate things so that you can slice off province by province as you go?
The World's Chris Wolf, thank you for laying all of this out for us.
You're welcome, Marco.